Okay, so welcome. It's the 21st of March, 2005. And let's lay on our bellies. So tonight we'll do a lesson and we'll call it Translating the Head. Which is just a small portion of it, but we'll call it that. Okay, so on your belly, just rest, turn your head to a side. And can you witness and appreciate your contact with the floor? So where's the first place that you feel that? Where do you go to when you feel the contact of the front side of you with the floor? Notice the weight of the pelvis and how the pelvis lies. Notice the front of the thighs, how the kneecaps arrange themselves. Is there any pressure on either side of the lower leg near the shin bone, or is that elevated? And then how are you on the feet? Do your heels tend to be stacked right in alignment with your toes, or do your feet roll inward, heels in compared to the toes, or out compared to the toes? Just how is that? Relates to how your knee rests and how your hip rests. Does one leg feel longer than the other? And on the longer leg, do you feel that the front of the pocket, you know, if you were wearing jeans or pants that had front pockets, the front of the hip pocket, is that pocket more closer or more weighted into the ground than the other leg or not so? So if you just get a quality of the front of the hips and the weight in the front of the pelvis, are you shifted and more spilled and open on one side versus the other? And does that correspond with the leg being longer or the leg being shorter? Maybe, maybe not. Just look for a pattern, if there is one. And then feel the rib cage, the belly up to the rib cage and the chest. This place moves when we breathe. And in this position, because the soft belly has a constraint of the floor, it biases our breath to move in our back. So if you're lying here and you can just feel the back, and the low back in particular, even though we don't have lungs that extend all the way to the low back, you'd be surprised at how short the lungs are. They're really up pretty high. They're not all of the ribs, aren't filled with lungs in the back. But you'd be surprised how much movement there is in breathing around the diaphragm and around the low back and around the waist. So as you're lying here, just feel if there's space there that actually receives some undulation or some movement with breath. It's like you breathe there. And to feel it more clearly, can you block it and not let it move at all? So block your low back, block your waist, block. No breath happening there. You can still breathe, but block that place. And take a few breaths that way, knowing that you can still breathe. Other parts let you breathe. And now unblock it and let it be free to participate with your breath. If you're not interfering with any excess tension, you will actually feel the sacrum move a little bit with breath. Maybe by the end of the lesson you look for that. Tiny, subtle. It's almost like a tiny pulse idea. Okay. Let's go ahead and have the hands resting by the head. So they're somewhere face level. And let's everybody turn your head so that your left ear is on the floor. So you're looking towards the right. And somewhere at the level of the face, you'll see your right hand. We're going to leave the head, your head in this orientation, which is turned to the right, left ear on the floor. And you're going to gently pick up your head and you're going to move it a little more to the right side and place it down again. And you're going to pick up the head and you're going to put it back to where you began. So this is called translation of the head. It's a movement where we're not really changing the orientation of the head in terms of rolling it to the floor or rolling it towards the ceiling. We're just simply gliding it a little more to the right. Now, because the head is attached to the spine, it doesn't glide in a straight line. It can for a little bit, but that's not what we're doing tonight. We're actually moving the head a little bit in an arc. So as you move it over to the right, you'll feel that your chin approaches more the right shoulder. If you feel the movement, you can try and make it in a straight line and you'll only go so far, and then you'll feel, oh, you know what, really, if I'm just following the movement of how it's all connected, it will go in a little bit of an arc. So please continue to do that. And notice, when you lift and you take the weight of your head, what happens in the breath? What happens in the low back, the waistline? Can it remain free and yet still have some power to lift the head? Or does it block off? So in a way, we're trying to connect the head throughout the entire spine in a way. At least to have the hint that there's an entire spine there. So now let's talk about and feel and increase our self-image of what is our head. Can you please just take your right hand for a moment and can you feel what to you is your chin? Touch your chin. So be familiar with yourself. What do you think of as your chin? And just touch it all around what you feel is your chin. Does your chin include the whole jawline all the way up to the ear, or is it just the tippy point? What's chin for you? You can change your mind about it, but feel. And then put your hand away, put it right by your face, and can you move your chin to the right? It's the same movement of translating the head. But now you're thinking, oh, I have this image of my chin. And the chin moves a little more towards the shoulder or towards the hand, depends on where you have your hand. Mm-hmm. So think, I'm hearing the movement of moving my head to the right, but I'm going to take my chin as my primary focus. And how does that change things? Good, rest your head. And now get a sense of your forehead. Touch it. Feel. What for you is forehead? And just be acquainted through touch with your own forehead. And then once you've done that, bring your forehead to the right. And then your forehead will be the foreground of your head movement. Slowly. Are you breathing as you do it? When you think of your forehead, does the nuance of the movement change? What about your nose? What if you smell as you bring your head to the right? So think that there's something there that's down by your hand or your right shoulder and you want to sniff it. How does that change your intention or the quality of your movement? Are you aware that you have two nostrils, not just one? Are they differentiated at all? Okay, once you give that up, And to get onto your back, can you take your left arm overhead, put your right arm for a push-up, and roll over that left side and continue rolling, 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 rolling until you're on your back. And then you can let your arms go down and just take a rest there. If you bisect yourself in half, do you feel a difference between right and left halves in any way, shape, or form? Is there a difference in your sensations, right to left? Roll back onto your belly. Such relaxing music we have in the background. Now take your head and place your right ear on the ground so you're looking left and your hands are up by your face. Begin taking your head and translating it to the left. What happens to your shoulder as you do that? What happens to the right shoulder? Does it lift? Does it pull up? Does it go down? Does it get dragged? What happens to the elbow on the right? And does the same thing happen to the left shoulder? As you approach the left shoulder, does it raise off the floor a little bit? Go back and forth. So the idea here is the command of movement is to move the head, to translate the head, and yet we all know that our head is connected into us, right? So you use your awareness to find out how this movement of the head connects further and further and further down till eventually it's connecting all of you. It's not asking for any bigger movement, it's asking for connection. Because anyone can move their head back and forth, but this is awareness through movement. So you're looking for, oh, did something happen between my clavicles? Oh, interesting. When I think of my nose, it changes that. One hip weights heavier, one hip hikes up. Who knows? Subtle stuff. But at least the shoulders should be doing something. Especially if you're really moving your head over. Now, put your hand in such a way that you could think of, and actually do eventually, of taking your right ear to the left hand, eventually setting the ear on the hand. You may have to put the hand in a different place so that that's you're capable of doing that. But see what that would be like if that was your intention, and notice that the head goes in an arc. And then you take the head and you put it back to where it was. And as you take the head, you're taking the spine. And all of you, actually. What happens with the breath? Good. Rest for a moment in that same position. Could you touch the back of your head? The place behind the face. Yeah. And get a sense of what the contour is in the back of your head. And we're going to go ahead and release the contact there. It's just so that you're more familiar with your self-image from the back of your head. And translate your head again to the left. And think that you're taking the back of the head to the left. It's an arc motion. Then you're going to take the back of the head to the right so that you're back where you started. So literally the back of the head is moving a little bit to the left. And then to the right as you return to where you started. Mm-hmm. Good. Rest. Now take your lips. And bring your lips as the foreground attention. And when you bring your lips, what quality do you have in your lips? Right? It's a funny question, right? Do you know what your lips look like? What the shape of your upper lip is, what the shape of the bottom lip is? And when you take your lips and you translate them a little bit to the left, can you do the softest protrusion of the lips so that the lips are wide, as if, like in Africa, you know, sometimes you see those huge lips, those beautiful huge lips, and you could almost see the glistening redness, which is where the mucosa changes, right? We can take our lips and make them full and almost show the insides. Mm-hmm. And then as you return your head, your lips can just go to neutral. So it's almost the start of... That's the start of many facial expressions, actually. We'll leave it at that. Make your lips full as you do that. Good. Okay, let that rest. Take your right arm above your head. Stand your left hand for push-up. Roll yourself over that right side. Take a break onto your back. Just rest. And on your back, I'd like you to wet your lips with your tongue so you can feel the tongue contacting the lips. And then once they are moistened, I want you to do that movement of the beginning of protruding the lips forward, wide, so that someone could see the red mucosal layer. Sounds so medical, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Good, do that a few times and then really let the lips be passive and let the face be passive and then do that again with the lips. Good. Now take your fingers to the top lip and imagine a tiny, like a wave, you know how the waves curl a little bit? Could you physically take your top lip and protrude it and curl it ever so slightly? So it's a very gentle movement that you're doing with your fingers, both fingers on your lips, right? Both hands. And take your top lip and you're going to think some sort of African lip, right? You know, just that's my image that I get. But just think round and full and then you release it and then you do it again. So it's not a tough gesture or anything. It's more like to get it round and full. And curl. And after you've done that a few times, gently with yourself, encouraging the lip to be able to do this, take your arms away. And then just do it yourself a few times. Just take, without the hands, see if you can get that top lip to protrude and curl as you protrude the lips. The corners of the mouth, when you do this, are at ease. If the corners get really tight, it's very hard. It makes one thin-lipped, and we're doing the opposite. Good. And can you just relax for a moment? Take everything, stop everything, and just see the nature now of your resting and the nature of your face. And now let's do this with the bottom lip. Can you physically touch your bottom lip and pull it, round it? Often we have much more motor control of our bottom lip. It's easier to do this gesture with. When we do the bottom lip alone, it's pouting or the beginning of a cry. See if the corners of the mouth can stay at ease as you do that. You're showing the inner glistening portion of the bottom of the lip as you do this, as it curls over. Now let your hands go and simply do your lips without your hand. I think I'll just let that go. Okay, so see what that feels like. Okay, let's have you roll onto your belly again. Place your hands right by your head. Let's turn so our left ear is on the floor. We're facing right. Put your hands in such a way that you'll be able to translate your head and take your left ear onto your right hand. Many, many times. Okay, quieter now. Okay, so where were we? We were translating the head over to place the left ear onto the right hand. Maybe not all in one go. You take your time to do so. And feel, how complete is the self-image of your head? Do you have your forehead? Do you have the back of your head? Do you feel the ear? The left ear approaches the shoulder. Good. And gently turn your head to the other side so that your right ear is on the ground. And begin again. Put the hands in a place where the head could slide so far in an arc that you'd find it sitting on the hand. That the place that it would come down is on the hand. Notice your shoulder may lift. The opposite elbow may lift a little bit. It's okay for all that to happen. You're not glued to the floor in any way, shape, or form. You just feel what happens when you ask for a bigger, what would be known as a side bend, right? This is spinal side bend in a way, right? Feel what would happen. Good. Rest for a moment and place your forehead down on the floor. Now I'd like you to bring your head up and look with your eyes upward and just see how it is to raise your head. And then let your forehead go right back down to the floor, your eyes as well. And once again, just raise the head and see. Good. And rest. Keep resting with your forehead down on the floor for a moment or two. And can you take your heels and roll them a little bit in and roll them a little bit out? So the whole leg rolls as you do this. A little bit in and a little bit out. As you do that movement, sweep your eyes up and down. So you're going to look down, you're going to look up. Your eyes are closed and your head is just staying on the ground, your forehead's on the ground. So you're just sweeping your eyes downwards and you're sweeping the eyes upwards as you roll your heels in and out. Your head stays on the floor. Just your eyeballs are moving up and down. I say just, but the head's at rest. That's nice. Okay, let your legs rest for a moment and come into hands and knees. If hands and knees is hard, you go forearms and knees if you have a wrist or something that you can't bear weight on. And just get your knees right underneath your hips. And in this position, roll the heels a little in and a little out. That's good. Does one roll more easily than the other? Is it easier for you to roll them in, or is it easier for you to roll them out? Gently, slowly. Good. Now, rest yourself still in this position, and let's fold the toes under. So they're like for running, for standing on the toes, and then flatten them. And then fold them under. And flatten. And do that a few times. Just get the toes used to being folded under, a little weight, and then flatten them. Good. You leave that alone for a moment and come all the way back down to your belly and rest. Rest with your forehead right down on the ground and hands on either side. And once again, notice your contact and notice how the heels lie in relation to the toes, how the legs contact. And roll once again the heels a little bit in towards each other and then a little bit away from each other, letting the whole leg roll as you do so. When do you breathe in and when do you breathe out? And if you start the pattern of looking behind closed eyelids, but taking your eyes and sweeping them upwards and sweeping them downwards, so looking up and down, what pattern emerges? Do you look down when the heels are in or out? When do you look up? What's your pattern? Good. And rest for a moment. You can turn your head to a side, either side. Now pick the side that your head is actually the opposite side of your head being turned to. So if your head, if you're looking right, you're going to pick your left leg. If you're looking to the left, you'll pick your right leg, just sort of on the diagonal. You're going to take that foot, and in this position, you're going to stand the toes. Really try and get those toes underneath. So you're going to really have to flex your ankle. And the movement we're going to do is we're going to plant the toes under and you're going to lengthen the heel away from the top of the head. In doing so, it lifts the knee. And then release that push. The knee will go down to the floor, but the toes are still going to stay. So many times you're asking for a lengthening of the heel away. And as you do that, I want you to look and feel for what happens in the front of the hip. Do you feel lengthening through your back a little bit as you take the heel and you tension it away from the top of your head? And in so doing, that lifts the knee. So the intention is I move the heel away from the top of my head and lo and behold, my knee lifts. And then I release. Good. Turn your head to the other direction and try the other foot. So ground those toes. You're really going to have to flex the ankle to get the toes under. And several times, just think the idea of the heel lengthening away as if someone could really pull the heel. And see if you can organize that as a lengthening idea throughout the pelvis and the back and the waist. And the whole spine. That's it. That looks good. Good. Rest for a moment. Please put your head so your forehead is down again. And try the idea with both feet now. So both toes under. If your socks are too slippery, you just take the socks off, right? and lengthen the heels away. Mm-hmm. And then you release and the knees will go down to the floor. Mm-hmm. Good, rest your feet. And notice how the legs rest. Turn your head so that it's on the right ear and you're looking towards the left side. Good. Bend the left leg at the knee so that the foot goes vertical or towards the ceiling, somewhere like 90 degrees or so. And with this leg, can you lift the knee off the floor a little bit and then release it to the floor and it kind of taps the floor. Lift and tap. Smidgens of movements. That's it. Lift and tap. Notice a great deal goes on when you lift the leg in this fashion. Good. Rest for a moment. So one of the ideas of organizing extension has to do with what the hip does as you lift the knee. So you can think of the upper thigh bone as a drumstick. Actually, it may even be the drumstick. I think it might be the original drumstick. Okay, so if we think of it that way, for the knee end of it to lift, the other end goes down like a seesaw. So lift the knee again. If you think of that lengthening movement a little bit, opening up the front of the hip, as the knee lifts, you'll get a different feeling. It's almost like a lengthening as you lift. And then drop it. And if you do it in this way, you'll be able to tap it fast. Bup, tap, however. It's a lot of work, for sure. It's a lot of extensor work. But you'll be able to feel that. Uh-huh. Lifting and tapping. And when you're needing a rest, you certainly take your rest. Good. Let that go and take that rest. Good. Rest, everyone. Turn your head to the other direction so that your left ear now is on the ground and you're looking to the right. Let's slide both hands fully overhead. Stretch them out so the palms are somewhere overhead. Just relax for a moment and feel what it feels like to be so in contact with the floor. And when you bend up your right leg, notice what happens in the pelvis, how it shifts a little bit. The weight. Bend your right leg. Bend it from the knee. That's it. And then begin lifting it and tapping it. Uh-huh. Resting when you need to. Small lifts. That's it. Let it just rest. Once again, fold the toes underneath. And elongate the heels away, lifting the knees as you do so. And then release that. It's a small movement. Again, elongate. It will stretch or open the front of the hips, amongst other things. That's it. Good. Let that all go. Roll over onto your back. And let's take the knees over the chest. And hold on to the knees. Bring one knee over the chest, the other knee over the chest. And lift the head a little bit. And rock a little bit side to side. Ease out some of the back extensor muscles. Good. Let your head go down. Let your feet approach the ground. Your knees are bent. Let's do another thing. You know how we can sit cross-legged. And when we sit cross-legged, when we cross an ankle over the knee, we usually cross it over the top. So go ahead and do that. It doesn't matter. Just choose a leg. Cross the ankle over the knee. That's it. Now I'm going to have you switch this. Right now your ankle's on the top of the knee. I'm going to have you sandwich your ankle or your foot under the knee and then bring the knees over the chest and hold on to the foot and the ankle on either side of the other knee. There you go. And like this, I'd like you to make a circle with this configuration of your knees. So you circle and you're kind of massaging your back and your pelvis. That's it. Uh-huh. That's lovely. You're holding onto the foot more or less, foot and ankle. Uh-huh. That's good. Nice and easy and soft. Seeing how this speaks to your pelvis and the waist. And let that go. Rest your feet for a moment on the floor. And when you're ready, you take the other ankle and you sandwich it behind the crook of the other knee. You bring your knee over your chest and you hold on to the ankle and the foot with your hands. And you make a circle. Uh-huh. Breathing as you do so. Is there a way that this can become very enjoyable? If you're tired and satisfied, you let it go. And everybody let it go. Rest on your back. And roll back over onto your belly and take a rest on your belly or on your front. It's funny, I just had a thought, you know, we say roll over onto your stomach, you know. You never hear, you know, roll over onto your uterus, you know, or roll over onto your bladder, roll over onto your small intestine, you know, or your liver. It's always the stomach. It's kind of interesting. Good. Okay, let's again take our hands near our head. We're going to turn the head so that the right ear is on the floor. And I'd like you to bend both your knees up. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to translate your head over to the left so it approaches the left hand. Good. And then translate it back. Mm-hmm. Many times. Translate it. Now notice, when your knees are bent up, suddenly, you get more squiggly. That's a Feldenkrais word, I'll have you know. In other words, there's less restraint with your pelvis. Far less restraint of your waist and your spine, actually, because your knees are bent up. Do you feel the difference? Turn your head to the other side. And approach the left ear towards the right hand. And feel if there's a little more echo within your spine or your pelvis or your legs or your waist. Good. Now we're going to do something interesting. Rest your legs for a moment. Yeah. Talk to you. Rest everybody, rest your legs. listen to it before you do it, so you're still resting your legs, but just get a mental, or I say mental image, it's really a kinesthetic image, right? But do it in your brain without movement. So here's the idea. Your knees are going to be bent, and you're looking towards the right hand, and you're going to translate the head over to the right. You're going to lift your right knee and tap it down. Then you're going to pick your head up, turn it, translate it to the left, lift your left knee and tap it, and back and forth, tapping the knees and turning the head. Okay? And yeah, it's a little hard to explain. It becomes kind of a rhythmical thing eventually. But, you know, you tap to the side that you're looking, and then you switch, and then you tap, and you'll figure out the rhythm. So the knees are alternately lifting and tapping. You want me to give you the whole thing again?
No, I just remember
that the head is switching. Mm-hmm. The head is switching and translating. So it's not just turning it, right? It's turning it and translating it over towards one hand, picking it up, turning it, translating it towards the other hand. And you end up kind of walking the knees as you do that. Mm-hmm. Good. It's tiring, so you rest when you need to. Good. Let it all go. Just take a rest. You're on your belly still. Roll your heels a little bit in and a little bit out. Do you feel response in your back and your waist as you do this? Can you feel your hips as you do this? Good. Rest for a moment. Now, place both toes for running. And we're going to alternate the extension of the heel away. So you choose the right one. And you extend the right heel away, and so lengthening, and the right knee will lift. Then you let the right knee come down, and you switch to the left. And eventually you make a little pattern of walking the legs or walking the heels this way in a lengthening fashion. It doesn't have to be fast. You're looking for that lengthening idea. That's really good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Rest if you need to, and then you can resume. If your toes need a rest, the legs need a rest. Notice when you lay your legs flat again, how they are. Place your forehead down on the floor again, and roll the heels a little bit in towards each other, and a little away from each other. And take your gaze, and with your eyes, gaze up and gaze down. And notice your pattern of when you gaze up and when you gaze down. And switch it. So do your non-habitual pattern. Switch the gaze. Now go back to your habitual one, which is not to say it's a judgment, but the first one that you did. Slowly, slowly. Is there a difference between the two patterns? When do you breathe? And do you feel your low back, your sacrum, your hips, your pelvis? Good. Relax for a moment. Rest on your back. So just like we try and complete a self-image of our head, the back, the top, the lips, the face, all that, there's a self-image of the pelvis too. What is your pelvis? How is it for you? Okay, come back onto your front side again. Place your right ear on the ground. Hands are by you, by your head. There you go. Now, take the left leg and bend it at the knee. And now you're going to lift your head up and look over your left shoulder so as to see your left heel, and then put your head back down. So it's okay to peel your chest off the ground, and in fact the right elbow may come up and you can stand the right hand a little bit. That may happen as you bend to the side. And to help this, allow yourself not only to look up and over the shoulder, but allow yourself to do that arc motion of bending to the side. That will help you see the heel over your shoulder. So it's not under your shoulder, it's over the shoulder. That's lovely. The left shoulder moves backwards. In a way, it lifts from the floor and then it slides back and down. That's good. Good, and rest yourself. Let the leg go long. Let's try that exact movement again. Bend the left leg. The head is facing the left. You're going to extend and lift the head up and look up and over the shoulder. So to look over the shoulder, something has to happen in the spine, that idea of looking over. What do you need to do with yourself to make that happen? No. If it has to lift, it can, but it's not necessarily part of it. Do you feel how your pelvis rolls? Does it roll? And which way does it roll? Good. Let that all go. Rest on your back. Roll over. How does the right side feel compared to the left side? Go onto your belly again. This time place your left ear on the floor. Hands are by your head. Bend your right knee up. Now the idea is to lift the head and look. It's the right knee. The right knee. Yep. And you're going to lift your head and you're going to look up and over the right shoulder as if to see the foot or the heel, and you may very well. And allow the right shoulder to move back and down. In relation to the floor, it picks up. And the left elbow can move and do something intelligent to help.
That's it.
Yes. So the shoulder girdle can move to support the movement. Uh-huh. And how does your pelvis roll on this side? Sometimes one side is very easy because the pelvis can roll one way much easier than the other. Good, rest for a moment. So in a moment, we're going to go back and forth, looking once over one shoulder, looking once over the other shoulder. And I want you to feel that you're not pushing yourself. It's not a huge movement, but I want you to feel the response in the hips and in the pelvis. Look for that and look for the inequalities of it and how that changes whether your head can see the foot easily or not. So bend both knees up and lift your head. Use your shoulders. Do whatever you need to do and look up and over towards one side. Notice the pelvis shifting and rolling and turning your head, translating your head and arcing up and over. Find out how the pelvis responds to this movement. On your easier side, what is the pelvis doing? And what is it not doing on your not so easy side? Can you feel? Good. Does everyone know their easier side? Does anybody have like a real difference side to side? Okay, rest everybody. Let's look at somebody that has a difference. Come on over here and we'll look at folk.
Oh, geez. Did I volunteer?
You did volunteer. So let's just stand and see. Maybe it has to do with the pelvis. Maybe it's coming from somewhere else. So give us a moment. He knows where it's coming from. Come on and stand so you can see. Maybe if you stand near me, you can get a good symmetrical view of how he organizes the legs. And we'll just look at it from that point of view. Okay. Do your thing. So you tell us what's the easy side. So tell us what you feel, Falk.
Well, on this side, I feel like the right side of my ribcage is able to go down into the mat, and the left side is able to pick up, and therefore the pelvis is able to...
So that's easy for you. This is your easy side. Okay?
But on this side, it's harder.
He goes that side.
Uh-huh. All right.
Uh-huh.
And the stomach...
So we'll just keep showing us. There. 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 Oh, okay. So, fuck, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm maybe going to. So rest for a second. I want you to get the image of a baby's diaper. Okay? Yeah, this is real sexy, isn't it, fuck, right? Okay, so right here, imagine he has a big diaper on. Now, babies do this move. This is basically a baby movement. And babies, when they learn to crawl, or this movement is a precursor to crawl, actually, you'll see the diaper lift in the air like a little inchworm. Boop! The diaper goes up, right? I.e. their pelvis, right? But sometimes if you can just think in simplistic terms, pelvis is like, huh, what's the pelvis? You all get the idea of the inchworm diaper. So when we watch Falk, now try not to change what you're doing. When we watch Falk do this, go ahead and do your thing. On the easy side, his diaper lifts, right? And then on this side, you know, that's your easy side, yeah? Your hard side. No lifting, flat. It's like if I could take the diaper and lift it, it'd be easier for him. So maybe there's a rib component, but I'm interested in the pelvis component tonight.
But there's also the shoulder.
In the shoulder too. So yeah, it comes from maybe many places. Uh-huh. You see that a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
No. Well, I didn't
know. The diaper point of view?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we show someone else. I don't know who else had that.
I do. I'm crawling all over the place.
So, show us what you do. Show.
Show. Is it pelvis, moving the pelvis anteriorly? Yeah, so doing that. Okay.
It's like, think of an inchworm. It's not exactly like an interim because an interim doesn't have rotation, but there's like a lift. On one side you have the lift and then on the other side you don't. No, it's not the knee lifting.
Yeah,
not the knee. It's something with the sacrum being able to lift up. If I could just grab you from the sacrum and lift you a little bit, it'd be interesting for you. And we can in lessons. When you have your lessons, it'd be very interesting to look at lifting the hips. Hold on for a sec. Rest. That's what I'm talking about. A little bit of that. And that. That's the idea. Okay, show us you. What? Well, everybody's way different. That's what's so cool about teaching a class and looking at everybody's interpretation of movement. Yeah. So Suzanne is saying she's got the easy street going on. Elbows down on the floor. They lift when they need to. Oh, so Suzanne's idea is to let the knee come up like a frog, right? So she's biasing. She's doing almost all side bend, right? She's not doing much extension. So Suzanne, stop doing that with your knees. So what Suzanne's doing is she's drawing her knee up like in the frog pen. Let your knees just be there. And it's not about sliding the knees. I'm going to hold them with my feet. Look up and over. Yes, there is side bending, but you're not pulling the knee up. You need to look up and over. So, Suzanne, put your forehead on the ground for a moment and lift your head and look up the wall. Yeah, just straight. Yes, that component is missing. So you need to peel the chest up and side bend and rotate. So it's a little more extension. You're bypassing the extension when you pull the knee up. Do you feel how that's different in your spine? Yeah. So, okay, rest. So in a way, it is easier not to have to do that lifting extension. It is easier, you know. So, but that's, you know, we're cultivating that extension. You had a difference left and right too, yeah? Yeah, you want to show us you?
I wasn't aware of it.
But. Oh, you were? Let's see. I'm sorry, this is not, you know, I'm running a class, so I'm not doing it for the people at home, but, you know, if you're listening to this at home, you're just taking a big long rest and wondering what your differences are at home. Good. Uh-huh. Can you tell us what side goes easier? Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, it's not... It's a little subtler for her, but for sure.
So
yeah.
She's able to differentiate now for body bend going to the left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Yep. Yeah. Okay, rest for a moment. So this is morphing into some interesting, just really relax. Okay, would you put your head to the right-hand side, looking right, and just this leg up, and just practice your harder side. So I'm just pulling the other leg longer. Does that help?
Yeah.
So I wonder, you guys, if we could generate that on our own, i.e., what if I said, Lavinia, you do it yourself with that as you go. Does that help? It's nicer when I pull it probably, but maybe you can generate some. So again, rest for a moment. This is a big extension movement, right? And we have to have a lot of coordination in the lower abdominal to kind of, and what the pelvis does. So yes, it can be fine tuning, but I guess tonight I'm just sort of interested in the gross, what does the pelvis need to do to center that? Let's try that little thing that I just did with Lavinia. So you're going to lay on your belly. We'll do it exactly like we did with her. So you're going to be facing the right-hand side. So face your right hand and have your left ear on the floor. Your right leg is going to be bent. And when you do the movement of looking up and over at the right foot, you're folding your left toes under and you're lengthening the heel away and seeing if that helps the pelvis get an idea. So we're using this as an auxiliary movement. Slowly, it's a big movement, just do a little. Uh-huh. And then after you've done it a few times, rest, and we'll take the toes under away. We won't do the auxiliary movement at all anymore. And bend both knees up and just see, now without it, see if the pelvis has gotten the idea of what to do a little more clearly. Uh-huh. And then you can begin going one direction, change and go the other direction. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's very, very nice. That's really good. Uh-huh. Good. Everybody rest. Go over onto your back. And let's ease out the back extensors. Let's take the knees over the chest. Hold on to them. Lift the head and begin rocking yourself a little to and fro. Kind of a little. It's not. You can either do side to side or you can go back and forth like a rocking chair. That's it. Good. Okay, rest that for a moment. Stand your feet. Take your knees over your chest, cross your arms, and hook the hands in the crook so the arms are in a crossed over. Left is in the crook of the right. Right is in the crook. The hands are in the crook of the knees. Sorry, I'm not telling you that very well. Just, no, the knees aren't crossed. Just hold behind the knees. Yes, good enough. I'm just not even going to go there. That's okay. Go ahead and just lift your head to one knee. Put your head down. Lift your head to the other knee. Put your head down. So alternate. That's it. Gently. Uh-huh. Good. And then rest yourselves. Roll your head a little bit. Good. Now go back onto the belly. Final time. Good. See what it's like now just to have your forehead on the ground and just to take your eyes and look up. So let your spine figure what that feels like as you look up. So look up, 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 up. Go ahead, lift your head and lift your eyes and look up. Mm-hmm. And then come back down. And continue again. What happens in the belly? What do you do in the belly to look up? If you put your toes under and you lengthen your heels away and you give yourself that lift of the knees as you look up, does that help? Mm-hmm. And release your knees as you go down and you lengthen as you look up. Good. Rest your feet. And now simply take your head and turn it to the side and translate your ear over to a hand, then pick your head up and translate it the other way. So you're changing your head from side to side and translating it. And just see how much of your shoulder girdle and rib cage and clavicle feels a little freer to do this now. Gently, easily, slowly. Do you feel repercussions in the pelvis or in the front of the hips as you do that? Can you feel response there? So that it's not just your head and neck that's doing the work, but all of you that does a movement. That's very good. It's very lizard-like. Slow and lizard-like. Yes, did you see? I just see pelvises really rolling if they need to, or shifting. The pelvis is now resonant to the movement, not stuck in cement. Good. Rest. Ah. Resting on your belly, can you feel breath in your back? You have more contact now with the floor, just being on your belly. Perhaps your head feels a little easier to be to the side even. Sometimes when we start, the head doesn't even know quite how to organize itself when one's lying on the belly. Maybe it's a little easier. And if you were an infant and you suddenly had the ability to get up onto your two feet, how do you think you would do it? There's multiple ways. It's creative time. So you go, okay, I'm going to pretend that I'm an infant and I now know that I have the capability to be on my feet. So somehow get yourself from this position onto your feet in any way you want to. Just have fun with that. Explore it, have fun. Make a mistake, it doesn't matter. Spider-Man. You don't like all this infant imagery tonight, huh? Sorry about that. And just feel stepping on off your carpets onto the floor, something, a firm surface. Can you feel the solidity in your feet? Good. And feel your collarbones. Yeah, and take that into walking or movement and feel. So stay where you are for a moment and do the smallest little gesture with attention that when you go to gaze up, you take your collarbones. So you're going to look up in wherever, just a little above the horizon or a lot above the horizon, depends on what you want to do. And I want you to include your collarbones in that movement. And then go back to the horizon and look down a little bit and include the collarbones as you look down. And vice versa. As you look up, you include collarbones. It can be the smallest little movement. Now look at the horizon for a little bit and rotate your head a little bit and include the collarbones. So you're turning a little bit, including the collarbones. Good. And begin again to look down, including the collarbones. Look up. Maybe you can do a little diagonals. Include the collarbones. Small gestures. Good. And walk. And feel the feet. Good. Feel your hips. front of your hips. Okay, so next week we'll build on this lesson and we'll do very interesting things next week.